There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
For the first time in 13 years, the co-hosts of Gamertag Radio are going to have the first live recording in front of an audience during PodFest 2018. This live recording event is free to attend February 9th, 2018 from 6 to 7 p.m. It's going to take place at PodFest Multimedia Expo 2018 in Orlando, Florida. See Paris, Pete, and Danny live at PodFest 2018. For more information, head over to gamertagradio.com or podfest.us.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 734. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, the whole Gamertag Radio crew up in here. Let's start out with Paris. What's going on, man?
Hey, good morning. I'm going to bed after we record this, so let's do it.
All right.
It's been a long night.
We also have Pete in the house.
What's
going on, Pete?
What is up? Tech support is running full speed right now, so yeah.
All right. That's good. Good. All right. Remember, guys, this Friday, we're going to Orlando. We're going to have our live podcast event during PodFest. Make sure to go to podfest.us. Hit me up, Godfrey at gamertagradio.com. A couple of people already hit me up. They're planning to attend this free event. And we are going to have a live show for the first time in 13 years. So make sure to tune in. Go check it out, man. Well, I'm going to try my best to see if I can stream it. If not, I'll post the audio version on Monday and stuff. So, yeah, we'll keep you posted. And also, February 25th is the premiere of our documentary, Gamertag Radio, A Podcast Story. Make sure to tune in on Twitch. It's going to be totally free. And we're also going to have a video on demand version available after the stream. So make sure to tune in. That's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait. Great feedback so far. Great reviews from friends that have been checking it out and stuff. So very cool. Very excited. All right. Head over to GamertagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Listen to our past episodes. And you can also find us on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. Make sure to post a review if you can on iTunes or Apple Podcast. It will help us out big time.
Send us your feedback or questions. Yep. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so the first topic. I know Paris was the one that mentioned to me this because I was very busy behind the scenes doing stuff. Far Cry Season Pass has been announced. And Paris, Pete, you guys have more information about this more than me. So what's the details about this?
Well, you could have looked it up already and had it too. But since you didn't, Far Cry 5.
Been busy with stuff. Been really busy behind the scenes.
No, Far Cry 5, their Season Pass, they detailed what's in it. And I mean, it looks pretty good, actually. There's three different, I guess, add-ons is what you want to call it. They're putting, there's a Lost on Mars. They're doing the Hours of Darkness in Vietnam where you're fighting the Viet Cong. And then they're doing Dead Living Zombies where, as it implies, you're fighting zombies. And on top of that, they're giving you Far Cry. I almost said Far Cry 5 3. Oh, my God. They're giving you Far Cry 3 as well in the, you know, obviously for the PC and for Xbox One and PS4. You'll get a copy of Far Cry 3 Classic Edition as well, which, you know, arguably has been the best version of Far Cry to date. So, I mean, for $30, you know, for the season pass, I mean, this looks like a lot of content. I mean, might be well worth the purchase, but that's obviously up to the individual. And it's been a long night for me, so I'm going to let Pete continue to talk.
No, it was surprising, honestly, seeing all of those extra add-ons and features for the title. We already knew that Far Cry 5 was going to be coming out like gangbusters in 2018. And seeing all of this extra stuff coming out on top of the multiplayer, the co-op, and just the open world adventure that comes when you get a Far Cry title. So I was pretty, like, it caught me off guard. Like, I was not expecting that at all. I was expecting the standard, you know, Far Cry 5 package, and then obviously, you know, the co-op that Paris and I, you know, played. Actually, Danny was there as well. So yeah, that was a welcome.
Nobody wanted to play with Danny, though.
No, nobody wanted. That's why he played by himself. Nobody wants to play with Danny.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, it was a welcome respite to see that, you know, on top of all of the good stuff that we've gotten to see and play, that they were like, oh wait, there's more. You know, that whole TV show moment, you know, that TV advertisement package of just, you know, yeah, here's this all this extra additional content. And then again, you know, getting to go through the whole Voss adventure with Far Cry 3, that's almost worth it, you know, in and of itself. So I'm stoked.
Yeah, it looks dope, man. And like, once again, Ubisoft, they're going all out, especially with this game coming out now in March, next month. So yeah, man, super pumped, man. It's good that they're doing that, man, especially for those that never had a chance to play the old Far Cry 3, the old game. I think that's good. Great move by them, man.
I'd hearken to say that it's probably their best Far Cry so far. I mean, 4 was good. Primal was all right. But, I mean, short of 5, because obviously we've played bits and pieces of it, we haven't seen the whole thing. 3 has been like their coup de grace. That's been like their best one so far. And so I'm excited to allow people that maybe missed out on that before to be able to actually go through that and check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yep. And speaking about Ubisoft, Rainbow Six, more content coming, but there was a trailer that just came out a couple of days ago that looks like there's only going to be aliens involved, Pete. Could this be a new mode coming up next from Rainbow Six?
I don't know. So I don't have a lot of information on it. I'm not gonna try to BS my way through it. All I know is it's set in a small town in New Mexico, so we're gonna assume Area 51. But yeah, it's supposed to be exciting. And I've been jumping back into Rainbow Six Siege. After a long, long hiatus off of the title, when Siege came out the first time, I played it on Xbox. And I want to say probably no more than about 40 hours in it on Xbox. And then I dropped and I started playing other things. And then over the last week, I've been playing it. I mean, I played it the last two nights nonstop for like 4 or 5 hours straight. And it's been a hoot. It's been fantastic. I mean, I don't know. And I think I said this in the Discord earlier. I don't know what magic sauce that Ubisoft has, but they've been sprinkling it on every title, and it's just been like you can jump back in after like 2 years, and it's almost like a whole new experience again. It's fantastic. So, from what I'm seeing here, and this is the press release, an infestation of unknown origin is attacking the small town of Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. The danger is so high that authorities quarantined the entire town, trapping citizens and soldiers inside. Pushed to its limits, Team Rainbow calls in some of the very best biohazard specialists currently in operation within the world's elite national CTUs. So essentially they're going in for, and I don't know if you can call it zombies, but it's more a biochemical, you know, zone, and they're going in and they've got to come in. It's going to be a 4-week event with teams of 3 taking on a mysterious threat. So it could be monsters, it could be deformed or biohazard, infused enemies. It's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited.
I mean, at the end of the day, dude, they're adding content. And if you're a fan of Rainbow Six, dude, this is like no brainer. You're going to have a blast with this, man, because they're always adding content. And that's the thing that Paris mentioned a couple of weeks ago, that he still thinks, man, like, and I have to agree with him, Ubisoft right now is the company that are making a lot of changes in the industry when it comes to when it comes to this, the games, than any other company out there. They're adding content, and the majority of them as well has been free. Yeah. Every single one of them.
2 years later. I mean, and then on top of this, you know, for people who want more information on Operation Chimera, it's going to come out to the public. You'll be able to see it when they have their 6 invitational finals in Montreal on February 17th. That'll be broadcast on Twitch. And then anybody who's playing it on PC will get the first crack at it when they get access to the technical test servers on the 19th, which is 2 days afterwards. So, and then all of this comes out on all platforms on March 6th. So,
Paris, you want to say anything before we go to the next topic? You good?
I think Pete pretty much said it all. And, all right. And you were talking for me as far as my opinion on Ubisoft, so I have nothing else to say. all jokes aside, this is great with Rainbow Six because, it goes into what they've transformed this game into. I mean, like the fact that more details about this is actually coming out on, what was it, February, what did I read? Was this February 17th during the finals that they're having in Montreal? The fact that that's even a thing, and that's something that people will be tuning into, and you know, people that are excited about this game will be there to get more information about this event that they're doing for this, which will then lead on to something else in the year. And you know, it goes on and on and on. It's like, this isn't just a game that you pick up and play a few times and then you put it away. It is, like you said, Pete, you can come back to this 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, and they're going to continue to be supporting it and providing content to it. I liken this to something like, you know, we obviously had a discussion last week about like with Valve and all that. I liken this more to what Valve has done with CSGO,
yep.
Where it's a game that, God, CSGO came out how many years ago now? I don't know. Guessing 6 years ago, 7, something like that, crazy like that, probably even longer. But the point is, you know, it's still a thing. It's still a thing that Valve supports, and it's still highly played, you know, and revered in an industry right now. And that's what Rainbow Six has become. So, I mean, I'm excited to see. And, you know, like I was even saying privately yesterday, I need to go pick this up and jump into it as well. So,
yeah, it was August 2012. So, yeah, it'll be 6 years later this year.
Yeah.
Oof. Wow. Time flies.
Yeah. That game is nonstop. I mean, you've got, you know, invitationals, you've got world championships, you've got whole leagues and teams devoted to just CSGO. Obviously, Shroud from Cloud9, obviously one of the best players. And he's just one of them. I mean, there's other people that you just watch play and you're just like how? And so, yeah. It's whenever companies can continue to develop just add-ons or just to continue to keep the title fresh in the hands of players, it's just, it's great because then you're truly getting your money's worth out of the title.
Exactly. Like from a Ubisoft standpoint, from a business standpoint, why make another Rainbow Six at this point anytime soon? I mean, it should be a long time before we see a replacement to this current version of Rainbow Six. I mean, maybe by the time the next console generations come out, something like that, they can consider it at that point. But in this current gen of gaming, they'd be crazy to tell everyone that's already bought into Rainbow Six and bought into all the DLC and everything that they've done to say, we're going to change it up now and we're going to put out a new version of the game. You need to go buy that. We're going to add new features to it and you need to learn all that over again. They'd be dumb. I mean, they have a great thing going right now and this is what they need to support. And I can't talk. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be talking as much as I am. So.
It's not good. No, but Rockstar Games, they announced a couple months ago, they said that Red Dead Redemption 2 was coming out this spring, 2018. But now, a couple days ago, they announced that the game has been delayed to October 26th. And they also apologized. I really don't know why they had to apologize. Personally, I think it's a good thing because I want this game, this product to be great and perfect. So why apologize? I think this is a good thing, man. I hate when companies rush things. Take your time with it, man. I think this is a great thing for us gamers, fans of Red Dead. I think this is good.
I was almost right.
Your thoughts?
I was almost right because I don't know if you remember, I said I thought this would get delayed to 2019. I didn't even think it'd make it this year. So, I mean, hey, the fact that they actually finally put a date on it and it's coming to the end of the year, great. I mean, it's one of those games that doesn't need to fear Call of Duty at the end of the year, it can stand on its own and it's going to sell a boatload because that's what Rockstar does. So I'm excited. Like I've told you guys, I've never played Red Dead. So the original. So this will be all new to me when I jump in. I mean, I dipped my toe into it. I played a little bit of it when it came out, but I never invested any real time into it. So looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Pete?
No, I mean, we've said it countless times and we're always happy when a developer takes its time and even decides to pull back the reins and say, you know what, we're going to do a little bit more. We want to make sure that it comes out correctly and not have to push out 32 day one patches to fix things. We've heard it time and time again. Gamers are always complaining because, oh, we've got to, you know, we've got to do patches or your game sucks on launch. And this is Rockstar, right? Rockstar is on that Mount Rushmore of game developers. And they know probably more than anybody else what it is that they want to put out. So why tarnish that image or why tarnish that reputation by putting out a subpar product? And if you have to push it back 6 months, push it back a year. I mean, hell, there's no requirement to have a 2 or 3 year release process. That, you know, if you're gonna do that, make sure that your product comes out perfect day one or as close as damn near possible to perfect. And then we go from there. I mean, granted, you can't account for every single scenario, and there might be a glitch here or two on occasion, but you know, make sure that you I'm not a game developer, so I can't even pretend to say or know what it is, you know, that they need to do to fix it. But I mean, we've seen their resume. We've seen what they've been able to deliver in the form of the original Red Dead Redemption and all the other Grand Theft Auto titles. Take your time. We'll be okay. We'll wait. We'll wait patiently for you to drop your title. And once you do, you know, we'll be Gucci.
Paris, my question to you, I know a couple days ago you said that you think Spider-Man is going to be maybe game of the year so far. Now that Rockstar announced that this game is coming out for 2018, do you still believe that? Or you change your mind?
First, let me say, when I did say that, people, again, mad at me on Twitter for saying, how dare I say Spider-Man is going to be the greatest game of the year? Honestly, I forgot about this game when I said that about Spider-Man. This obviously has the potential for being not only because it's a multi-platform game, number one, but the highest grossing game, you know, competing against Call of Duty. And then just critically, obviously, it can be probably one of the best games of the year. I would say, again, take the financials out of it, because that's probably still going to be Call of Duty, like it or not. Right. But on a critical level. Yeah. I mean, Red Dead, Spider-Man. God, there's another game I was thinking of that's coming out this year that's also going to be up there. Now I can't think of it because it's been a long night. But yeah, it's for sure. It's going to be in the conversation, but I'll still contend that, yeah, Spider-Man is going to be right up there with it for sure.
All right, so Nintendo already gave some new details about their online service, and it's coming out later this year, in September of this year. And here's a couple new details about it. So it's going to be $3.99 every month, $8 for 3 months, or $20 a year. And of course, every month they're going to give away some like old school games, which also is going to have like some online features in there. For example, like Mario Brothers 3, Balloon Fight, Dr. Mario, and so on. And I think that's cool. You know, similar to, you know, PlayStation and Xbox, they always give away free games and stuff. But I think that Nintendo has like a bigger and better catalog when it comes to the old school games. My thing is, what are they planning to do with voice chat and all that stuff? Because I still think this app thing was a disaster from Nintendo. I'm not a fan of it. Online wise, like playing games, great, no issues or anything. But it's just voice chat, man. I think I'm just gonna use Discord if it's gonna be like that, you know. But unless they make some changes from now to September, I don't know. I'm kind of like, meh. I mean, I don't mind paying $20 a year. It's not that bad, you know. But your thoughts about this, guys?
It's difficult, and at the end of the day, it's Nintendo. So Nintendo's never really been that strong in the online space with regards to the way they handle things. This whole app concept I don't think is still been, you know, fully vetted. I know just a couple of years ago, they were working with a couple of different technology partners to try to fine tune and figure out how to handle all of this. And as strong as Nintendo is as a hardware developer and whatnot, it shows that they still haven't matured in this space. And it's something that they really, really need to get a handle on. Granted, Nintendo's not known as the online partner, right? Like, they've got a handful of titles that, you know, that do okay, Splatoon being one of them and things like that. And, you know, obviously Mario Kart and stuff like that. But when it comes to a full-featured online presence like Xbox Live or PlayStation Network, they still have a long way to go when you put them in comparison to that. So I would love for them to get their act together on this. I'm sure they can. It's just, you know, this is something that's relatively new for them, so it's going to probably take them a while to deliver what it is that gamers expect from an online service. And in the meantime, we just have to be thankful that we do have the Discords and other, you know, means available, whether it be TeamSpeak or anything else, to be able to have these types of interactions with other gamers. Unfortunately, you sometimes miss out on that opportunity to actually meet other people because you don't have a full featured service, right? So unless people are over to our Discord server, discord.gg/GT, you know, Gamer Tag Radio, there's no way for you to meet new people unless it's completely by accident and like you're figuring some way out to talk to or to meet other people. I mean, I've met some of my best friends online, you know, because of services like Xbox Live or PlayStation Network. So until they fully, you know, are able to develop or vet a service like this, this might sound a little rough, they're going to continue to be the laughingstock with regards to something like this. They just need to get their act together and fix it.
And do you think it's enough, even with the free games that they're adding? That's not enough, you think?
No, because I just don't think so, because you're not able to fully, I don't know, just in my personal opinion, I don't think it's enough.
Okay. Paris, you think that's enough? Or not really?
I don't like their approach to the, and I'm doing air quotes, free games that they're giving you, because all it is whatever game is featured that month, you get to play for free. But after that month, it goes away unless you buy the game.
I just read the article
that said they didn't.
Really?
Yeah. It says the Switch game will be free only for the month in question.
That's confusing, because last year they themselves mentioned it on Twitter that they made the change because based on the feedback from the fans, and now they're bringing that back.
That was last year.
Yeah, though. It was late last year. Late last year. That's when they announced. I don't know. It's confusing because I know I read that multiple places saying that they made the change based on the feedback from the fans.
Yeah, the Switch game will be free only for the month in question. Once the next month rolls around and a new game is featured, the previous offering will be removed. That's what it's saying.
Brought that back? What? That was weird.
Yeah, God, I mean, let's
communication
just,
is weird.
Yeah, let's just go into the assumption that is still true right now. I think that's a mistake. Like you're saying, they need to reverse that. But if you think about it, they're only charging you $20 a year for it. So I could see if it costs more per year than basically giving you a free game every month. This is not Nintendo style. It would surprise me if they did do it, is what I'm trying to say. So they're basically every month they're going to let you demo a game for a month. And if you like it, you obviously have the option to purchase it. I mean, I've said it before, I'll say it again. The thing I want more information on is the virtual console. What is the pricing going to be like? What can we expect day one? Even this article mentions, you know, the 8-bit and 16-bit games, they're going to be adding some multiplayer features to it, you know, with leaderboards and things like that. So I'm excited for it. You know, I mean, my wallet might not be excited for it because it sounds like I'm going to have to buy a lot of these classic games again. I'm just curious what the price is going to be for it. And we already know, like what Pete was just saying, dude, Nintendo's not going to fix any of the current voice chat features, any of that. I mean, if you want to talk with the smartest thing they could do is put a Discord app on the Switch or something and just use that.
Agreed.
You know, beyond that, I mean, I wouldn't hold my breath for much else as far as the online features go, you know, with the Switch. Mm-hmm. And that's just Nintendo until they prove us wrong.
Yep. I know there was also more details about this Super Mario movie that's coming out. That's sometime, I think, in later, not this year, but like maybe in 2020 or so. They're partnering with the studio that made Minions. And your thoughts about this, man, because, you know, I know in the past they had a live action Mario movie, and it was a disaster. It was pretty bad. Your thoughts that they're going to the animated route instead of having a live action movie?
I'm more for it. I prefer it to stay animated. I don't want that 80s movie that we had, you know. I think it was Lou Albano was in it, I want to say, but yeah, I don't know. It wasn't great.
It was Hoskins. It was the dude that played Who Framed Roger Rabbit. He was Mario.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
He's dead now, isn't he? Yeah. I think he died.
He might have.
I think both actors passed away now. Or was that John?
You're right. John, it was Leguizamo. Bob Hoskins. No, it was all three. It was Bob Hoskins, Dennis Hopper, and John Leguizamo.
Yeah.
John Leguizamo. He was Luigi. Yeah.
Because Hopper was Bowser. Right.
Yes. Yeah. And horrible. Again, that's all the more reason why you don't want a live action movie. You want to stay this. You want to keep this in an animated route, so that way you can control the message and the appearance of your primary characters. So I think it's a much better. They actually chose a decent studio to do this because, you know, Despicable Me, Minions, and Secret Life of Pets. You know, Illumination. Yeah, Illumination Entertainment has a pretty decent track record. So, granted, we're not seeing a Pixar / you know, whatever, but they should be more than capable to be able to deliver a solid movie. We hope.
Now
it depends on the script. It depends on the script and the story that we're all going to be seeing. So
the question I do have is, Mario doesn't really say much in the game.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah.
How that's going to work out, and are they also going to be using the same voice actor, or they're probably going to have like a mainstream actor pretending to be, you know, Mario and stuff?
Well, so I don't know. How it's twofold. You got to have Charles, this Martinet is his name. That's the current voice actor for Mario in the games. It's kind of like where Peter Cullen for the Transformers movies. You gotta have, he's Optimus Prime. You can't recast that voice or no one would accept it, right?
Right.
So you gotta have Charles to be able to be the voice of Mario. But like you're saying, Danny, Mario, I almost shudder for them to do full-on voice acting for all these characters where they're doing multiple lines back and forth. That just takes away from what Mario is. I don't know. You know what? Disaster. This is going to be a disaster. I'm calling it right now. I don't want this. Yes.
Nintendo's not going to let that happen.
You know what this is going to be? It's going to be like when they did the Tom and Jerry movie and they had voice actors for Tom and Jerry. Freaking disaster. Ooh. Don't do it.
Yo, I have a story about Charles, man. So I was, I had to travel somewhere. So I was at the airport in Miami. And I think that weekend they were having like some Comic-Con event here in Miami. This is like years ago. So I'm walking with my fiance and stuff, and I bump into him at the airport, and I was like, "Hey, Mario, right?" He was like, "Yee!" And he walked away. I was like, everybody that was walking around were looking at me like, "Yo, what the hell was that about?" So shout out to him. That was cool, man. But yeah, man, I don't know. Paris, I think I have to disagree with you. This is Nintendo's first major film when it comes to this, like an official animated film.
And it's going to be their last.
They're not going to let this fail, man. Come on. Especially, this is the same time where they're launching their theme parks too in Japan, the Universal Studios. Dude, they're not going to let that slide, man. You crazy.
Okay. Solve the problem then. How are you going to take Mario and Luigi and Princess Peach and Bowser and Toad and all these characters and Yoshi that don't talk, and now all of a sudden they talk in a full-length movie? It's going to be a disaster.
I think that happened. Was it when the new Pokemon movie came out? that Pikachu says something, everybody in the movie theater like, what?
It's gonna be that cringeworthy. I'm telling you, I'm calling it now. I'm telling you, this is not gonna be good.
Pikachu.
I'm trying to remember what he said. What he said, man.
No, I know what you're talking about. I can't remember what he said either. But it was just like, wait a minute.
Look, Black Twitter had a field day with that. That's all I know.
Hey, 20 years later, and now you're gonna come out that you could talk to me? Come on. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
In English too.
In English, yeah.
Oh my god, I don't. For those that are listening, do you think this movie is gonna fail? This is gonna be pretty good. Let us know. Email us. Because I don't know. I personally disagree with Paris. Nintendo's not going to let
All
this
I got to say is go on YouTube or wherever you got to go and watch the Tom and Jerry movie. That's all I got to say. I'll leave it at that.
You rented this movie or you just saw it when it was on TV or the Tom and Jerry movie?
Yeah, I think my kids or something. Why? And again, it was cringeworthy because Tom and Jerry don't talk. That's my point. And then they were talking for a whole movie. Same with Mario. He don't talk. You don't have Mario. It's me, a mind. Oh my God! It's a disaster already in my head. I've already in my head.
Now, will this work? What happened if they release a movie similar to the games? Not saying much, just only maybe certain characters will say a lot. Do you think that will work,
Danny,
out too? Or
here's how you solve that.
Yeah.
Go pay your $49.99, $59.99, and go play the game. Why are you making a movie at this point? This is not going to be good. A Zelda movie. You could do Zelda. Mario, no. I don't think it's going to work.
I just realized something. Minions, they don't say much. They say the same thing over and over, and it's been a success.
Okay, so you want Mario to be like Minions? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying that it probably could work out.
Look, I know I'm the angry negative person and you're the hope and the light. In darkness, but I'm telling you, this is not going to be good. That's all I'm saying. And I know we spent way too much time on it.
Hey, man, I had to defend Mario, man. It's Nintendo. Mario Mafia. It's coming for you, man. All right, so another announcement that came from Nintendo is that they're releasing a Mario Kart mobile game soon. I think that's a big, big move for them, man, because Mario Kart is one of their biggest franchise, man, for Nintendo. It sells a lot, so I can imagine this for mobile phones. Everybody has a mobile phone. Everybody knows about Mario Kart. I think this is going to be big, man, when they release this, man. Super big. Your thoughts?
Got to get the multiplayer.
Yeah. We saw what happened with the Miitomo social app also, so let's not say that they're everything that they do is gold. But yeah, Super Mario Run did okay. I'm assuming their Animal Crossing stuff has done okay as well. I don't know.
No, it's doing pretty good. It's doing really good.
I'm still holding. I don't know. This is a title that I could see succeeding more so than the whole Pokemon Go thing that you and I got hooked on for like 6 months of our life. Is that still a thing? Like,
I was right about that too, by the way. I just
want
to point that out.
Were you?
Yeah, because
Paris is always right.
Because I told you that was going to go. And
no, dude, Paris.
And I see
still
you're still
people,
playing.
There's still people playing.
And you're still playing it. I just said,
Paris overall.
What I said was, you guys will play it for 2 months and then you'll never play it again. That's what I said. And guess what?
We played it for 6 months and then we never played it again. So you were wrong.
Yeah, you were wrong, sir.
Played it for six
no,
months.
Still,
no, my
still,
son my son actually plays it. He still plays it. Him and his friends still play it.
Ah, so you're fake news then, man.
You see, he's out there with his iPhone connected to his Mavic drone and he's just flying it around picking up Pokemons. That's what he's doing.
Pokemons, yeah.
So yeah, I mean, they have the right formula right now, and with Mario Kart as a game on a mobile, I could definitely see it having success. You know, it's something that you could pick up, play, do a race or two. You know, if you're in traffic or you're on a train or something like that, pop in, do a race, and then boom, you go on to your next thing. So I could definitely see it having an opportunity to succeed. So.
Have you guys played any multiplayer racing games on your mobile phone just to test it out?
No.
Not in a while.
And
not in
it
a
was
while.
Smooth. It was very smooth, like online.
Not in
online
a while.
Multiplayer?
Not
no?
in a while.
Okay.
Cool.
So. All right. Well, now I'm wondering, are they going to have this for free or are they going to charge? That's the question.
I'm under the impression that they're going to do something for. They're going to make it as a free app, and then you know microtransactions because yeah. That's how mobile games usually make their back end money. Anyways, mm-hmm. microtransactions speed up your experience gain, buy boosts. Buy parts, et cetera, for your cars or however, you know, your carts or however they're going to do it. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure it'll be free to play with a microtransaction model, paste it to the back end. There's no reason to drop a free to play game and then, you know, yeah. no way to support it.
I think out of all the games, Mario Run is the one that has been like compared to all the other Nintendo mobile games app. That's like the one that has like the lowest downloads because they were charging way too much for that game. And every other game, it's free. Yeah, it has microtransactions, but so far, every other game has been a successful launch. Like the games, it's been great feedback too. So yeah, I think it will work for them if they release this totally for free, for sure. So, all right. So let's go with fan mail. You guys ready for fan mail or what?
Yes. Let's all do right. it.
Let's do it. Paris all right, it's time ready. For... Paris is always ready. All right, here goes.
I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
At LV, our home insurance comes from the heart. It's not just about giving you a personal claims handler to take care of you all the way. It's about looking after you in other ways too. Like when you go direct to us, buy online and get a massive 25% discount. To see how much you could save with the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. Online discount for new customers only, excludes home emergency and home legal expenses.
It's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right. We have some voicemails. Pete, can we play the voicemails first?
Oh, wait, we had audios? Crap. Let's
but
read
you
them.
Never read. You never
hey,
and you always
hey, I had technical I had technical difficulties this morning getting
no
stuff
excuse.
Set up.
No excuse.
You
see,
no excuse. Stop streaming button. You're gonna see those excuses. Go on go hit the reading ones while I'm downloading.
The what?
I'm dead.
Stop fighting. All right. Let me know when you're playing the audio.
Well, go ahead and do one of the reading ones. And then
all right,
while I okay. get everything set up in the background.
All right, so this is from Jinx. He was like, hey, what up, guys? Just wanted to say I can't wait for the documentary to come out. February 25th, it's coming. Listen to you guys talk about it, hype me up. My question, if the rumors are true and Microsoft is actually in the market to buy PUBG, Valve, and one of the biggest... one EA, do you think it's because of the lack of upcoming content that Microsoft has on the table? Is there a possibility of them making this move to get on the edge on Sony, right? What do you guys think?
Yes.
Because I can't even yes? Okay.
Absolutely. I mean of course that's why they're doing it. They have a lack of content in the short term. And of course, they want to get an advantage over Sony. But what I think, expanding on this with the conversation that you guys were having last week, and then when I jumped in the after show and gave my 2 cents, what Microsoft is doing, look, this generation is lost. They are not catching Sony in this generation. They're not catching Sony in the next 2 to 3 years, right? So it's just not happening. They're laying the foundation with Xbox One X, with trying to ramp up with internal studios, make acquisitions. They're ramping up so that when we hit the reset button, which I'm really starting to think now 2021 instead of 2020, but when they hit the reset button on these consoles, they can compete. That's what they're doing. So that when PS5 and the next Xbox come out, day one, they're going to have compelling titles for people to play. That's what they're trying to do right now. So and it just makes sense.
Pause there for a second. You said 2021. Why the change?
Because when I saw that the PlayStation has sold, not hey, like you guys had y'all shipped and sold commentary, when they sold over 75 million PlayStation 4s, Sony has no incentive to try and push this thing out to rush it. They will stretch this out as long as they possibly can. So if them extending this generation another year into 2021 makes the PlayStation 5 more compelling to hit all the technical achievements they want it to be able to do and to get it at that magical $399 or less price day one, that's what they'll do. You know, Microsoft could try and jump the gun and come out 2020. I mean, maybe that's the smart thing for them to do, but like I said, I look at PlayStation 5 and with the current sales numbers of PS4, why rush it? You know, there's no reason to rush to get to the next generation for them.
Now, that's the thing. They're in a tough spot right now, Microsoft, because, yeah, they're making all these changes, which is very positive, right? But should they announce the next generation console first? Or wait until Sony makes that announcement for their console?
Well, I mean, history says that when they were losing the first time with the original Xbox, you know, they kneecapped that console and then they got the 360 out a year early. And that obviously was a competitive advantage for them. And the 360 was the dominant console of that generation. This time they both came out at the same time. And because of their own mistakes, they lost that competitive advantage. And obviously, here we are with PlayStation being the dominant for this generation. They could, in 2020, come out with the next Xbox. And then obviously, with everything that Microsoft has been setting this up to be, whatever that next Xbox is, you're going to be able to pick up that hardware and still play all the Xbox One games and 360 games and original Xbox, Game Pass, that whole thing. So they're setting it up, like Phil Spencer said, no one gets left behind. So they could, to try and get an advantage, jump a year early again. But if I look at it from Sony's standpoint, even if they did that, they could still wait to 2021 and say, well, we're coming with PS5. And here's what PS5 is going to do. And they're, you know, we're confident we're going to keep our user base, you know, versus what Xbox is doing. But I mean, we'll see. We're obviously years off from that. We'll see what's going to happen. Like, I don't even think we'll get a hint of anything until probably, what, 2019? You'll probably start hearing rumors of whatever the next consoles are going to be. And then, I mean, we'll see what happens in 2020.
Yeah, I was reading a couple of days ago that Microsoft made a lot of money on their games this past holiday. And the reason was because of Xbox One X. So they're doing good, you know, even though people see this like, oh, they're in second place. It's like the end of the world for a lot of gamers. Like, oh, my God, they're in second place. Dude, they're fine. They're doing good, man. But yeah. I'm just curious to see what's going to happen for the next console, you know. But yeah, Pirates, go ahead.
No, I was just going to go on what you're just saying. That's the one thing people need to remember. If you look at this from a sales standpoint, Microsoft is having record numbers. It's not that, oh, Xbox is terrible and in the tank. They're fine. It just so happens that Sony is selling at historic levels. And, you know, we've not seen this in the console space. I guess the closest to this would have been the PlayStation 2, you know, as far as sales numbers go over the lifetime. That's why, you know, Sony can look back and go, yo, by the time we get to 2020, we're going to have over 100 million people with PlayStation 4s. Do we really want to hit the reset button on 100 million people that quickly? That's what
especially,
I'm looking at.
Especially with their backwards compatibility stance, right? That's
yeah. And that's what I mean. Because whatever PlayStation 5 is, it's going to have some kind of backwards. It has to. Yeah. It has to, because that will be a huge marketing win for Xbox if PlayStation is still talking about, hey guys, go get PlayStation Now to play your PlayStation 4 game. People would be like, kiss our tuchus. I'm not doing that. You know?
Yeah, pay for a service to play a game you've already paid for.
Yeah. The smartest thing Sony can do going into the next with PlayStation 5 is not PlayStation 4 at a minimum, games have to be playable on that thing. But if they're smart, include PlayStation 3. They have to. And not that they have to, but I think that would be smart, because when we look at what Microsoft, we know what Microsoft's going to do. They're going to have Game Pass, and they're going to say, play all your 360 games, play all your Xbox One games. Here's some original Xbox games. They're all 4K, and they're beautiful. You know, that's what they're going to do with their backwards compatibility, and that's going to be a huge selling point for that next console.
Yeah. Do you think that both consoles should have a Blu-ray drive?
No, I don't think either one should have a drive, period. By the time we get to 2021, I mean, yeah. Physical media is dying. It's going away. It's going to be the digital future, yeah. Baby. It won't happen because people lose their minds if we don't have a physical disc. But, you know, I could – if anyone would be crazy enough to do it, it would be Microsoft. But I think after the Xbox One fiasco, they're not going to do it either. There'll be Blu-ray drives in the next one.
If Sony announces that they don't have that, I think it will be okay. But if it's Microsoft, forget it. Torches, all kinds of stuff, man.
But see, I don't even think Sony could do it because, again, physical media is not going away that quickly.
And remember, that's Sony's backbone. That's their entertainment stuff. Their, you know, Blu-ray in the movie theater. I think they put it in there to push their catalog of their Sony titles of movies.
I mean, it's not available on the Pro. You can't watch movies like that on the Pro.
Yeah, you can watch a Blu-ray movie. You can watch a Blu-ray.
Was it the Slim? They removed it. Was it the Slim or the Pro that they removed it? Because they were like, we don't really need it.
No. They all still have physical Blu-ray drives. It's just the Pro just doesn't have 4K Blu-ray, whereas Xbox One S and obviously the One X have 4K Blu-ray drives.
But you think that was a mistake? For them or not?
I mean, no, because they've always pushed themselves. They've always pushed it as a game title, a game console first. Anything else after that has always been, you know, secondary. That's not the thing that they're trying to push, which is it being the all around media title thing. You know, they're always saying it's, you know, this is a gamer first thing, and if you want movies, you could play. You're just not going to have all those frills on top of it.
And let me ask you this question, Danny, because you have an Xbox One X, you have a 4K TV. Are you running out to go get a 4K Blu-ray to watch a movie, or are you just watching on Netflix or Amazon Prime?
Actually, because of my niece and my nephew, sometimes they come here, they bring their own movies, and some of the movies is a 4K Blu-ray, so they will watch it like that. And actually, yesterday we were watching Planet Earth 2, because I had it. Microsoft gave me that with the Xbox One X, but I've never seen it. So we tried it, but still to this day, there's movies that we have in 4K and we watch it. I mean, we don't go out and buy it a lot, you know, but, you know, we received a lot. You're not buying it.
And that's what I'm saying. Sony is the 4K Blu-ray market. I don't know, we were tangent off in this, but the 4K Blu-ray market is not as huge as it was when Blu-ray first came out, as far as people running out buying disc because we're in a streaming world now. I mean, the majority of the content you're getting is streaming now, and that's obviously where by the time we get to that 2021, I mean, who's really running out buying 4K Blu-rays? That's the question you have to ask yourself.
All right, voicemails, Pete.
Danny doesn't.
Which one do you want to play? He's just like, moving on.
Let's move on.
All right, here's the first one.
Hey guys, my name is Cole from Pennsylvania. I got two questions actually. First being, would love to hear some commentary now that we've stepped away from all the holiday buzz, we're getting into 2018. What is the forecast for true next generation from a gaming standpoint? Meaning, the next consoles we see, are they going to be a legitimate next generation like we saw from Xbox to Xbox 360? PS3 to PS4 and so forth, or are they going to be these half step ups like we see with Android and iPhones and that kind of part of the tech world? I'm asking just because I'm curious to know, is it worthwhile going out and buying something like an Xbox One or PS4 Pro, or do I just wait for a couple of years for the next gen? Is the next gen not going to come until VR is the hot commodity and not $500-$600 to get all the equipment? So I'd love to hear a little bit about that. Number two, You should be doing this Super Bowl Sunday, Eagles or Patriots? Pick. Thanks. Take care.
Thank you, Cole. So, do you think that this is going to be the this is going to be the move moving forward, you know, doing these half steps of technology versus jumping and going full, right? I thought in my personal opinion that the Xbox One to the Xbox One X was a full step increase because they went from 1080 to 4K. They just happened to do it midstream within their tech refresh cycle. Their standard refresh cycle. It'll be interesting. I don't know. I think it makes sense. They're going to continue to do both. They're going to do the full step, and then they're always going to do those little half measure jumps, like Xbox One to the Xbox One S, similar to the mobile phones. Paris is shaking his head, so bring it,
Paris.
They better not. Or what's the freaking point? What's the point? If we go to, we already have an Xbox One X that can do 4K 30. We have a PlayStation 4 with PlayStation 4 Pro with some tricks under the hood that can do 4K 30. So if we go to a PlayStation 5 and the next Xbox and they're not at a freaking minimum doing 4K 60 frames per second, maybe even some options for 1440p, 144, you know, the whole thing, HDR, these things have to be a technological leap forward beyond what we currently have today in 2018. Or why are we pushing out new consoles? Because I said it before, I'll say it again. The biggest mistake both of these companies made back in 2013 was rushing out these consoles, and it was half-assed because they weren't doing 1080p 60 frames per second day one. And if you think about it, unless you get the quote-unquote pro version or the Xbox One X, you're still not even doing 1080p 60 frames per second on every game. So, I mean, what are we doing? So I don't want these half measures anymore. I want what we should have at launch, and not 3 years, 4 years into the console cycle, I got to go and buy new hardware again, you know, because now you want to do 4K. Now you want to do these things. It's like, no, do it day one. Or why are we releasing these consoles at all? Honestly, if the case is they can't hit 4K 60 frames in 2021 or whatever the year is going to be, then stretch the console generation out until you can. That's what
isn't that why? Isn't that why you bought the 1080 Ti? Isn't that the half measure going from the 980 to the 1080 to
but the 1080 we're talking, Ti? But that's PC.
Isn't though. That the
we're
same talk- concept though?
No, it's not. That's computers. Way more expensive. Number one, to build a PC, and it's a choice, right? A console, you're supposed to buy a console, and it's supposed to sit in your living room for 6 to 7 years and play all your games, and you don't have to do anything, right? That's supposed to be the whole point of a console. A PC, sure, you tinker, you add and all that because you want to get bigger and better and go on and on and on, but that's your choice to do that. From a PC standpoint, from a console standpoint, the average person shouldn't have to go spend $400 to $500 every 3 to 4 years to get the next thing, because that's not how consoles are supposed to work. So that's my point. If we're not getting the huge leap in the next 2 to 3 years, Danny said, I'm out of here. I don't want to see this. No. if we're not getting that huge leap when the next consoles are coming out, then yeah. Why are they coming out? And like I said, I can just go back to 2013. Those consoles should not have come out when they did. They should have waited. If they couldn't hit, if the hardware specs couldn't hit those minimum specs back then, they should have waited a year or two until they could. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I know he mentioned, you know, should he buy a PlayStation 4 Pro or an Xbox One X? Now, I personally think, yeah, I mean, there's certain games that it looks phenomenal on those systems, man. Like, you know, The Witcher, Horizon Zero Dawn, right? There's a couple other games that I think it looks amazing on the Pro and the Xbox One X.
I would say if he doesn't have a 4K TV, don't buy one. Don't buy your one.
Oh, I agree too. With that.
I agree with that. I agree. All right, so we have a next voicemail.
Sure. Here we go.
You just blew off his other thing. He was wanting to know about the Super Bowl. You just, I'm not Super answering Bowl? That.
I forgot about that. I don't know. I'm going with the underdog, man. Eagles. Not a fan of both teams, but whatever. I'm like, whatever about it. You guys?
I'm going to say this. Just like the great DJ Khaled once said, Congratulations. You played yourself, because all these people buying into the hype about the Eagles, this is Vegas tricking everybody. Oh, the Eagles, the Eagles, the Eagles. And now all the money, people betting on the Eagles all of a sudden. Man, that's Tom Brady. That's the GOAT. I am not betting against the GOAT until he loses to a team not named the Giants and Eli Manning. No, no, I'm sticking with the Patriots. I don't see it. And Gronk's playing too. I don't see it.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's the secret sauce piece right there. You add in Gronk. Even as good as the front four for Philly is, right? We could probably have a whole another discussion on this in the after show, but I know Paris isn't going to be part of it. as good as that front four is for Philly, and we've seen it before because we saw it when Denver beat the Patriots that one year that they went to the Super Bowl and won. Go Broncos. And we've seen it every other time. When you put pressure on a quarterback, especially one that relies on the timing and whatnot, like Brady, who verifiably is the GOAT, it's going to be hard-pressed for him to be able to do what he needs to do, right? But this is Tom Brady. This is the GOAT. Plus, you've got Belichick with 2 weeks to scheme and plan for Philly. I want, from an underdog perspective, I'd like to see the Eagles win, but we have to be straight up and honest. I mean, come on, this is you know, Brady. I want to go out on a limb and say, if Brady wins, he goes up, he accepts that MVP trophy, and he's like, I'm retiring, I'm out. Best quarterback of all time. Deuces. There's nothing else for him to prove at this point.
There's already nothing else for him to prove, to be honest with you.
No, but you know what I'm saying, right? Like,
no, I know what you're
saying.
Him
going out on top, now that he, you know, because this season has been one that he's not really been accustomed to, where he's had all those, you know, those things going on, like with his trainer, the TB12 method, et cetera, and having a lot of arguments with whether it's Josh McDaniel on the sidelines or other coaches on the team. I think, and then there's been like that rumor of him and having issues with Belichick and in the front office, blah, 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 blah. I think, and I'm not just saying this because I'm sick and tired of seeing Tom Brady, you know, news on the feed all the time. I think he wins. He goes out and he's like, you know what? Best quarterback of all time. Deuces. Me and the wife, we could just go live our life, you know, and go make beautiful babies because he's Tom Brady. So,
all right. So let's play one more voicemail.
Yep.
Wrap it up.
Last one. Here we go.
Hey, what's going on, Gamertag Radio? Man, I hope you guys are doing well. Shout out to Pete, Paris, and Danny. This is Keon calling from Baltimore. You know, just being such a big fan of you guys. I just really enjoy the content. All of the very, very hard work that you guys do, just as a fan, I'm just curious to know, how do you get your audio levels so clean and so clear? Because I know that you guys aren't recording together, yet it sounds so good. Just hearing the quality, it's like you guys are literally sitting next to each other. So, do you guys have your rooms full of padding and, you know, all kinds of, you know, sound canceling equipment, or is it the microphones? I mean, how do you guys put together such an amazing show with such great quality? That's all I wanted to know. Thank you guys, like I say, for all of the hard work and, man, just, the quality is so amazing because I've been listening to other podcasts and yeah, the quality, the sound quality stands out quite a bit. So thank you guys. I don't want to ramble on anymore. You guys take care and have a good one. Bye bye.
The GOAT.
How long is his voicemail? Jesus Christmas.
Shout out to Keon, man.
The GOAT of GTR callers. There he is right there. Keon.
Yeah, man. For sure. Yo, he calls all the time, man. So shout out to him, man. That's cool. Very, very cool. Now, Keon, so this is the thing. A lot of the other shows, you know, unless they're recording locally, A lot of them just record maybe using Skype, maybe Discord. For us, what we do is we use Discord to listen to each other, but we record ourselves locally, different audio. So once we're done, you know, P and Paris, they'll send me their audio and I sync it. I remove some mistakes or like some ums or cough or whatever in the background. I'll take that off. It's a process each episode. That's what we've been doing it for years. We all have the same mic. We all have a similar recorder too. So yeah, that's how we record, man. So, and it's good. It's a very long process, the way how I edit the shows, but I think it's worth it, man, to do that, man. So I don't know if you guys want to say anything. Before, we used to record through Xbox Live. That was bad. That was horrible.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's funny, like with the documentary and everything, just takes you back down memory lane. I should go dig it up somewhere. I still have my old Logitech headset mic that I used to do the podcast with, and it's like I would shudder now to be recording with that thing because the audio quality is just so bad. But yeah, like he said, we all basically use the same equipment, same mics and all that recording equipment to try and keep the audio as good as possible. So that's the secret sauce.
Yeah. Pete, what about you, man?
Pretty much. I mean, it's just consistency, making sure that we have the same equipment more or less. I mean, it's a little different when we're doing it online and doing like the Twitch show and stuff like that, because then we've got to account for compression and using, you know, Discord for the audio and video for the viewers and stuff like that. But when we do the audio release, it's actually, you know, we've got dedicated audio streams that we all record independently. And then, like Danny says, you know, we ship it off to him to mix it. And there's been on occasions like when we're on location, we send it out and we don't have time to make it back on time to do that. We'll send it back to our good friends over at Entercom, and you know, they help us out on occasion. But for the most part, you know, Danny puts in his time, you know, he puts in a lot of time. My wife has done this when she had her own podcast with SG Pink and stuff like that. Paris obviously knows trials and tribulations going behind sitting there with his favorite, you know, audio processor and mixing down audio. Me and Danny have history in the music industry and stuff like that. It's not easy, and it's a chore, but it's a labor of love. And that's it shows when the episode comes out and it sounds crystal clear.
My advice for those that are starting podcasting or they're starting to upload videos on Twitch or YouTube, my advice is once you have your content up, make sure to listen to it or watch it and learn from your mistakes. That's the thing that we always do. Look, I edit the show every single week, but once the show comes out, I listen to it in my car and I'm listening to it like if I'm a listener to see if there's any mistakes, if there's some things that we should do for the following. And that's how we got better throughout the years. And Paris, still to this day, man, he listens to the show. He will comment like, hey, guys, I think we did this right. We did this wrong. We always do that. Because if you don't listen to your content or watch your content, you're never going to get better throughout the years, man. It's going to be the same thing over and over and over again. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, I sent Pete and Paris one of the old audio where Paris joined to review Bioshock Infinite, and that audio was horrible. But at that time, that's what we had. The type of mics that we had was that, you know? So, yeah, I think it's good to listen to your content, man, your show. You could get better.
Yeah, and then there's opportunities where you're going to listen to it and you're going to be like, ugh, I don't want to hear this again. I've just heard this for the last 2.5 hours because I've been mixing it down and editing and cutting and chopping and stuff like that. But you have to listen to it because that's the only way you get better. You have to be critical of yourself and understand that not everything you're going to put out is always going to be fantastic. So you have to listen to it, and you have to be willing to accept critiques, not just from yourself, but from others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll mention this because I think I haven't really talked about this on our podcast. I mentioned this to like other shows and stuff. My goal with the documentary, and you guys will see it, February 25th, you see it, and I already showed it to a couple people already here locally in Miami. My goal was to edit this through iMovie. When you see the movie, when you watch the movie, you're probably going to be like, wait, Danny edited this through iMovie? What in the world? Like, it doesn't even look like I used a free software on a Mac. And the reason why I did that is because I want people to realize that you don't need no expensive equipment to be a content creator. You don't need an expensive software to start creating your content. What matters is your content. You know, I show this movie to a couple people already, and they laughed, they cried, they got inspired, and I did my part. I reached my goal by doing that. You know, so my advice to you, if you're gonna start, you know, your own show, is start small. It doesn't matter what type of equipment you have, and you're gonna get better throughout the years, man. You're totally gonna get better. Just gotta make sure to listen to it and learn from your mistakes, from your past mistakes. So, all right, I think that's about it. Paris is like falling asleep, super tired in the background, partying too much.
We actually had one more email that I think we wanted to read out, so I'll read this real quick. This is from one of our community members over at Discord, Gorligs. Hey, GTR, just wanted to take a moment and say thanks for making GTR a place where you can share more than your gaming experiences. Mm-hmm. I just finished the latest episode where we hear about Pete's, hope I can say Pete, if not, let me know, that's fine, car problems. Although the situation sucks, it's great to take a more personal approach on your podcast. It's also a privilege from a listener's perspective for you to share that with us. So thanks for creating a collaborative and transparent community. Cheers.
I think that's good.
No, absolutely.
I totally agree.
And he's not the first person to say that. You know, we had somebody else on Twitter also. So, you know, thanks for sharing those personal moments out of our lives. You know, so it's not always just, you know, gaming and what's going on in the industry. You know, it helps endear us to our listeners or viewers when we show a little bit of ourselves outside of what they normally, you know, see or hear on the show. So, you know, thanks Gorligs for writing in. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it reminds me of something that Paris said a couple years ago on our show, that there was a listener that got personal and said a few things about himself on a podcast, and he felt comfortable because he feels like we're friends, you know, and it's based on the conversation like that. P having, you know, talking about his car issues and stuff, or we'll talk about like movies that we like or conversation we have about gaming or family and so on, because it's that connection from a listener to us, you know. That's what I think it's important for us to sometimes, yo, talk about ourselves, and I want the listeners to learn about us, man. You know, it's not always 100% all about video games and Xbox versus PlayStation or whatever, you know. It's good to get personal too, man. It's fine by doing that. So, Paris, I don't know if you want to say anything before we wrap it up.
No, I think you said it all. Well said.
Okay.
I was asleep.
He's super tired. All right, head over to gamertagradio.com. Post your comments and feedback, and you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, everywhere. Find us, subscribe, post a review. It'll help us out big time. And share with your friend. Let them know about GTR. Remember, this Friday we're going to have our live podcast in front of an audience at PodFest. Go to podfest.us for more information, or email me, godfrey@gamertagradio.com, and I'll give you the full details. And it's totally free. Totally free. February 25th is our world premiere of our documentary, GamerCast. I'm going to say GamerCast.
GamerCast Network.
GamerTag Radio, a podcast story. Make sure to tune in at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. It's going to be totally free. After the stream, we're also going to have available video on demand, so you can watch it like through Twitch or YouTube and so on. So, very excited about that. Yeah, have your popcorns ready. Make sure to take pictures while you're watching the film, and let me know your thoughts about it, man. All right, and I think that's about it. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Gamertag Radio is on radio.com.
You can now watch Gamertag Radio live on Twitch.
Get all the latest news and coverage related to the gaming industry.
Join hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo.
Don't miss the crew record the podcast live Sundays, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Wednesdays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Get involved with the conversation, send us questions, and be part of the show.
Gamertag Radio.
Follow us, twitch.tv/gamertagradio.